Always streaming on the ESPN Chicago app.
Check this out.
Good morning and welcome on in. Tyler Aki, Shay Norling with you on ESPN 1000. We're with you every single Saturday, 8 to 10 a.m. Sometimes we talk some college football, some college hoops. Today it's whatever we want to do. Whatever we want to do. Might help to turn that on, my friend.
Well, you know, it's an early morning on a Saturday.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. You want to join us, 312-332-3776. At some point today, we're going to get into the Parachuter's Guide to College Basketball.
Yep.
Because, boy, if you have missed out on the sport this year, you're missing out.
Yeah.
There are tremendous freshmen. There are some great, we're looking at some like all-time seasons by some of the vets as well. Some good rivalries. Today's like the day of the year in the sport, too. Got a top 10 matchup, got some big-time rivalries. Cal's coming home.
Good games across the board.
Everything's fantastic. Your Sparty is playing.
USC,
welcome out west.
Very excited.
So we'll do all that a little bit later on.
It's better than the NBA, guys. Just is.
It really is.
This year, it's just better. I know everybody hates the NBA now. So if you want to watch basketball, college basketball is where it's at.
You and I took in a college game this week, too. We were up at Welsh Ryan for Northwestern and Rutgers. Let's begin, though, with the Bears as everything as sort of I feel like we're in the lull now. A couple of coaches have been hired. We've got the coordinators all set. Dennis Allen and Declan Doyle met the media this week. Richard Hightower, we know, is back. And now all the gears sort of shift to free agency. And this is something that, you know, I feel like the way that everything went in terms of speed, like a lot of people are giving Ryan Poles credit. Oh, he landed the big fish in the coaching search with Ben Johnson. Did he land the big fish or did Kevin Warren land the big fish? Did he land the big fish or did Caleb Williams land the big fish? I feel like anybody who is accepting a head coaching job after solely a three-hour interview and some back-channeling with agents doesn't feel a lot to me like Ryan Poles went out and reeled in the big fish here.
Yeah, I mean, I've given credit to Kevin Warren, but I don't think that means I give no credit to Ryan Poles. I don't really care. What's important is that the fish is here. When I'm sitting down to eat dinner, I don't care who caught it. I just care that it's going in my belly. That's it. So I don't really care who got Ben Johnson. I just care that he's here now.
But I think it goes to show what the attractiveness of the job was and how the Bears probably could have gotten any candidate they wanted aside from Mike Vrabel because there was something that the Patriots offer that the Bears could never offer, and that is the ability, coming home, the ability to coach the team that you played for. That's the only thing that they couldn't offer. Otherwise, who knows? Maybe Mike Vrabel would have been here. When I look at it, it's like I think to myself from the lens of what Caleb Williams and the attractiveness that is. And even though he had his flaws and he had his moments of struggle throughout the season, people are buying in. And I think that's a really good indicator of where this team is at. And I know people are acting all hesitant to go out and make big predictions for what this team is, but let's call it what it is. This should be a playoff team. In a vacuum, with what you're able to go out and do in the draft, what you're able to go out and do in free agency, what you already have built in place on the roster, let's call it what it is. This should be a playoff team next year.
Yeah, 100%. You went out, got the best coach available. You're going to have a second-year quarterback. You're going to have wide receivers with talent at minimum, DJ Moore and Rome Odunze, if you don't add more. And you've got a mountain of cap space, again, a treasure trove of draft capital, something you didn't have a year ago. Things would have to go very sideways again. And boy, if they specialized in doing that. Like, mm-hmm. If there's a team in this league that has set themselves up well for a one-year success turnaround and then just watched it all get lit on fire, this is that team. So it's hard for me to, like, look forward and just kind of go, yeah, this is all going to work. It's going to be sunshine and rainbows here. But everything's set up for them to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's incredibly fortunate that, look, man, in a year where offensive line is what you need, you have two teams, Kansas City and Atlanta, that are so up against the cap, they can't really even afford the young offensive linemen that they have, and you have the mountain of cap space. That's not to say, like, you're the only team in the NFL that has cap space, and you're not going to have to fight to get this done. And is there a world where you miss on one of them or both of them? Of course. But you got to, if there were ever a time to take the swing. Yeah, I mean, we were talking with Jack McGrath, who's producing today, before the show started, and it's like, well, the projection's $100 million for Trey Smith. What if it gets bumped to $125? Well, then I'm paying him $125. Like, it just, but that's the way I operate. And I know other people look at this like, well, sports are a business, and you have to spend within your means. You got to, you can't just go crazy on one player. I think you got to spend money to make money in business. And a big part of that is you got to pay what people are willing to pay for the talent.
It's what frustrates me about ownership in this city. I mean, when you go to Philadelphia, those owners are in a contest among each other to see who can spend the most. You got Philly with the Phillies, you've got the Eagles, you've got the Sixers. Like, those three teams, talk about, like, you can't pin it on the owner. That is all general manager and the players at that point. Like, it is everything below the owners with those three teams. We don't have that in the city. Like, can you imagine how beloved a Steve Cohen type owner would be here?
Oh, God.
Can you imagine? The teams would not even have to win. They would. You'd have to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, the Mets don't win, and he's God to them.
Right. So. Well, it's like, it's one of those things where you can't blame him.
No,
he's,
of course
he's
not.
He's put forth every resource possible to go out and put your team in a position to win. And now you're sitting here in Chicago, and it's like none of these guys want to spend anything. Everyone wants to just live frugally. And listen, I'm not saying anyone has to go out and spend Steve Cohen-level money. And it's a little different in the NFL, too. But I just, the person who comes here and does it, like Ishbia comes here and buys the White Sox or something like that, and they go out and spend like he did to start his Phoenix Suns tenure. Can you imagine what the city would be like?
It'd be incredible. But look, man, George can also just become that guy.
Well, it seems like it's starting to go that way a little bit.
There's a little bit of optimism because of how they approach the coaching cycle. So I think when we started talking about this and you brought up did Ryan Poles catch the big fish? Again, I don't care. But my answer would be no. Like, Kevin Warren, I think, was the more attractive piece from what we can understand. And I think George's willingness to pay up was the more attractive thing than just working with Ryan Poles. It feels like they're hoping this can work, but it's a bit shaky of a relationship. Just feels like that based on some of the early reporting. Maybe we're all wrong and they really are just totally lockstep and they're going to rock and roll through this thing. It's going to be great. But I think Ben Johnson will have enough of a say in the personnel decision making that I don't have to worry about if Ryan Poles can handle himself in meetings.
Well, that's
or be the
thing.
Reason that you get a big fish.
That's my fear, where it's like, all right, we're giving a lot of credit. All right, Ryan Poles landed the guy. But did he land the guy? Because he hasn't landed a lot of guys here. Like, let's call it what it is. He's kind of operated in a Jed Hoyer-like fashion where he's looking for bargains. He's got a certain price. He's attracted to value over going out and just landing the dude. This is my big fear now going into this offseason, because it's great and Ben Johnson should give you a bump, but ultimately it's the players on the field that need to take you over the finish line. Now, part of it is going to be getting guys back up to what their standard is. Getting DJ Moore back up to his standard. Getting Cole Kmet back up to his standard. Getting Tremaine Edmonds back up to his standard. Montez Sweat. Like, all of these guys need to start to play for what they're paid to do or what they're billed to do on this team. I mean, you're talking about four guys there who have all been signed or extended in the last two seasons and are supposed to be big pieces of what this is building out to be. And last year was a colossal disappointment for all four of those guys.
Yeah.
And they're paid like four of the highest paid players on this team. And if you bring in another guy like Trey Smith and you end up making him one of the three, four highest paid players on this team, well, guess what? The expectation now changes significantly. And when you go out and get Ben Johnson, your hope is that, all right, not only can he get those guys to the level of expectation, but some people are going to have to overperform. And I'm not necessarily saying it's those guys there, but you're going to have to find a few more guys like TJ Edwards, who he's making nothing in comparison to what the rest of your roster is, and that guy has overperformed. It's been one of the best signings we've seen lately in the city.
Yeah. Again, people are going to get mad at me on this, but this is all why I draft defensive line at the top of the draft, if I can. Like, the 10th pick, if things fall correctly, I'm drafting defensive line there. And there's no way you can talk me out of it. If Will Campbell and Mason Graham are both on the board, I'm taking Mason Graham. Because of everything you just said. Because this ultimately comes down to Ben Johnson getting guys right again. The coaching staff as a whole getting guys to play right again. And I think it's so much easier for an offensive coordinator to make that happen on the offensive side of the ball and scheme your way through it than it is on the defensive side of the ball if you don't have bodies. And that's just the best way to revitalize Montez Sweat and to revitalize Tremaine Edmonds and to revitalize, like if Andrew Billings comes back healthy, add a defensive lineman. It's the best way to do it.
Yeah,
get an anchor on that D-line that you know will be there, will be healthy, and will be impactful. Just, hello, Mason Graham.
Yeah.
Plop him on the D-line and you're good.
Did you put your
today,
by the way?
No, I have not yet. But, okay. Yeah, this, if you missed it earlier this week, my gift to you Bears fans, the same prayer circle that sent Drake May to New England last year is reactivated. I have the circle of candles.
You're using it for good this time.
Yeah, the circle of candles in my bedroom and the photo of Mason Graham in the middle. I am making my promise to the Bears fans. I will get you Mason Graham at 10. It's going to happen. I'm going to get this prayer circle done, and we're getting Mason Graham at 10.
Look at you. Finally for the people. I love it.
I've always been for the people, even if they didn't believe it. Bears have given me not much reason to go
be
out
for the people.
To go
so the
out
Bears
and do
have
this.
Made you a salty old POS.
I didn't think I needed to pray for Jared Verse. I thought it was pretty obvious, but now I know if I want things to happen, I got to start the prayer circle.
312-332-3776. Dimitri's in Madison. What's up, Dimitri?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's going on?
I first of all, Shay, I totally agree with you. I have not seen a defensive tackle with faster hands than Mason Graham since Aaron Donald coming out of Penn. That's me personally. But what I wanted to ask, and then get to my question, I wanted to ask, do you guys really think what's the guard from the Chiefs, Tyler?
Trey
you said
Smith.
His name was?
Trey.
Yeah. Is he really the guy we should go after? Because I think Drew Dolman from Atlanta is the primary guy we should go after.
You remember the old commercial? Why not both?
Por qué no los dos?
We have the money. Yes, I agree 100%. But I just think if we had to choose, Drew Dolman's the target for me.
Interesting. Why do you prefer Drew Dolman?
Because one, I think in this era of free agency, he's a unicorn. He is 27. Atlanta can't really afford to keep him, and we can't keep cycling through centers. Our last three centers have been horrible, just horrible. So I'm like, if you can get him, he's 27. He can grow. He's already grown, but he can establish himself here and be with Caleb for years, and we literally don't have to worry about that position. It's the leader of the offensive line, and I think it's more important right now, and I think there are a lot of good interior offensive linemen in this draft that you can afford to just go for Drew Dolman. But why not get both?
Yeah.
I say swing for both.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dimitri.
Can I say, Dimitri, I haven't thought about it that way, but actually, you may have just sold me. Because now I'm, really racking my brain. How often is a top five center available in their 20s in free agency because the team that has them just screwed up?
Well, I think the same can be said about guards. Really, any offensive lineman.
Yeah, I mean, guards don't move a lot. Tackles move a little more often. But a center, man, if you get a good center, they don't leave. They're on that team forever. And because the Falcons, it's ironic. Like, they didn't do the wrong thing. We all laughed when they did it, and now it makes sense. But signing Kirk Cousins and drafting Michael Penix, like, the process ended up being right for them, except they can't pay any of their fifth-year guys now because they did that.
And I'll give them credit. Like, the Falcons, the way that they've built their offense, pretty good. Like, that offensive line, pretty good. You've got weapons there, both on the outside, in the backfield. You were really just – you kind of built it the way that I think a team like – almost Detroit built it. It's obviously not as good as what Detroit has, but you built the line first, you solidified the line, and then the quarterback was sort of the last piece there. Now, didn't work out. You got the wrong guy, but now you've got a draft pick in there. Unfortunately, it's going to come at the cost of maybe your center in front of them, but it is an interesting kind of case study for how to build a roster, because there is no one clean-cut way to do it.
Well, Atlanta, here's the life lesson to take away from the Falcons. They built it like like Detroit did, if Sam LaPorta sucked. That's what they did.
And if Sam LaPorta was a top 10 pick, top 5 pick.
Yeah. Like, imagine if Sam LaPorta were the most promised fantasy player of all time every single season and then just sucked.
Did you see the tweet this week? Scottie Pippen, it was like, take the biggest risk of your life or whatever, and then somebody quote tweeted it. It was like drafting Kyle Pitts in fantasy again.
Are you going to take the bait, Jack? I can see it in your eyes.
No, he's been horrible.
You're a mouse to cheese.
He did have 1,000 yards in his first year.
See?
Oh, he's back in.
He's going to talk his way into it.
I mean, positive touchdown regression for fantasy should come. He should just start scoring some more touchdowns. You would think.
Who's better, Kyle Pitts or Cole Kmet? The fact that there's a pause.
I can't say definitively it's Kyle. But Kyle Pitts is a better pass catcher, but you add everything in with the blocking evens out.
It should be Pitts, like, by a landslide.
But
I can't say Kyle Pitts. I just can't.
I also don't know Cole Kmet's like probably the hardest player in the league for me to quantify, because I don't know who he pissed off, but the guy just could not get a ball thrown his way.
No. It really is maybe the biggest mystery of the season. For the Bears, biggest mystery, what the hell happened to Cole Kmet? Like, a couple of years ago, it was, what the hell happened to Allen Robinson? He was great first couple of years here. Then all of a sudden falls off a cliff. And I think the same thing kind of happened with Cole Kmet. And I'm not saying, like, he was great by any stretch. Like, he was never as good as what Allen Robinson was for his first couple of years here. But he was
a
red zone target.
Top 10 pass-catching wide receiver. Or tight end.
Tight end. I think it's a little different saying that versus where you are as a receiver, but
no, yeah, but I'm just like the 2020, not 2024,
yeah,
but 2023, he was a top 10 tight end by receptions, and he's a decent blocker.
He's a red zone target. That's what he was.
Is it a mystery, or is it you hired an OC who wanted to bring Gerald Everett in? And
when the ball was thrown to Cole Kmet, he still caught the ball.
He had the best catch rate of his career, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is, like, Gerald Everett, we saw him on the field the first couple games, and then poof, gone. Never saw him again.
I know.
Where'd he go?
What was the final number on Everett? What was it, -9 net yards?
So, with the penalties and stuff like that? It was not positive. Yeah. A lot of mystery in that tight end room. A lot of mystery between Kmet, the disappearing act as well. Like, at least Kmet was out there getting his steps in. Gerald Everett was not.
He's just out there getting some cardio.
Yeah, his Fitbit was buzzing out there. And then Mercedes Lewis, whatever the hell that was for this year.
That was it. Yeah, Mercedes Lewis and Gerald Everett, -9 net yards. Beautiful stuff, man.
Good process. Good signings. 312-332-3776. You want to talk Bears with us? I've got a GM longevity question for you. In this city, who's going to last the longest? We'll do that when we come back. 312-332-3776. Tyler Aki, Shay Norling, in with you.
This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay.
I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. Welcome back to Tyler Aki and Shay Norling. We're back on ESPN Chicago.
We got a new development during the break. Jack McGrath wants to trade the Carolina pick for Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
No, not the Carolina pick.
I was amazed. I couldn't believe it.
Not the Carolina pick.
I just asked if you were going to take the cheese on fantasy football.
And there are polls.
And then you bring up that Kyle Pitts is in trade rumors. And
all of a sudden you said, I'd really like to see.
If you can get him for a day three pick, six rounder.
I've really.
24 years old.
Don't short sell yourself. You were in here. You were lubed up at the idea.
No.
I'd love to see Kyle Pitts with Ben Johnson.
And former tight ends coach in Detroit. He had some good success there. Boyle was a tight ends coach, too.
Yeah, you had excitement about this.
Yeah, for a sixth-round pick, I'll take it.
Guy needed a
towel. He's 24 years old.
Incredible.
Don't get Kyle Pitts. Don't do it. Just don't. Simply don't do it. You don't need to do it.
For a sixth-round pick, you don't need to talk yourself in.
This is where you, the fantasy football general manager, is acting like a real NFL general manager. Don't need to do it.
Jack is dreaming of some two tight end sets here.
Good pass catcher.
12 personnel Jack.
Andy Reid, big 12 personnel guy. I don't know how much 12 the Lions ran. Now I got to look it up.
I feel like they ran more like six-man lines, but not necessarily 12.
Brock Wright was on the field for them a lot.
Was he? Interesting. All right. Well, good. We got you down, Jack. Carolina pick for Kyle Pitts.
Sixth-round pick for Kyle Pitts. I'm happy to do it.
We'll send that up the totem pole.
But this just can't be right. What am I not getting here?
What are you looking at? What do you got?
First down personnel. Why?
First down personnel.
I don't understand why it would be limited to this, but also this website. Websites suck these days, folks. I just got to put that out there for you. It says first down personnel for your Chicago Bears, just because that's the team I'm looking at. 0% for 11, 0% for 12, 0% for 13.
Are you looking 0% at the
playoffs? 0% for 21. No, because.
You're looking at 2025?
No. The Bills are also zeros across the board and 100% other.
Exotic.
What am I looking at here?
What site are you on?
Seasons 2024, NFL Elo. 2024, non-playoffs. I can get do I have to like sign in? Is this behind a paywall? Why can I not see this?
They got you.
The Bears really did turn him into a grumpy old man, didn't they?
Dude, I came out of the womb this way. I don't know what you want from me.
I feel like, yeah.
Have you seen the video, either of you? Okay, never mind. I'm not going to do it. Go ahead.
No, what do you got? What video are we? We'll watch a video.
There was just, it was on Instagram. I saw it. It might have been old. But some girl was traveling to London and, like, came around the corner of a building where Big Ben is. And she saw Big Ben and fell to her knees and started crying. And then it was like a stitch. And it was a British girl just, like, 11 years old, just cursing her out. She's like, get up off the ground. Get up. It's a clock. It's a clock.
It's like Cap the Mona Lisa.
Yes. And because you said I became a grumpy old man, I watched that video. I said 11-year-old girl telling somebody that they shouldn't enjoy something. Me. That was me when I fell out of the womb. Don't enjoy stuff. Stop it.
Yeah. Enough.
If something sucks, don't like it.
Wipe out that smile off your face. Enough.
It's pretty easy. People who like bad movies, stop. Don't do that. There's no reason. Actually, I have another question for you now that I'm just going down a weird line.
You're riffing.
Are you a Shrek guy?
Oh, Shrek rocks.
Okay, I need to know something because I haven't watched the movie since I was, I don't know, in elementary school probably. And I thought it was, like, fine, but just a kid's movie, whatever, when I was growing up.
You watched it in elementary school?
Yeah, probably. Okay. Now I've come to find out people my age believe Shrek is a modern masterpiece.
Yeah.
It's like Michelangelo's David of movies.
And get out of my swamp.
That was horrible. That was the worst Michael Myers I've ever heard in my life.
Gave it a rip. Why not?
The point of the question is Shrek actually good, or is it like, because I posed the idea that we all came up living so ironically that things that suck became good.
I don't know about that.
I think Shrek's actually good.
Is it? I haven't seen it since elementary school.
I don't think it's like one of these cult classic things where people latch onto a bad movie.
I will rewatch Shrek. I will.
Will you really?
Yeah, of course.
Let's do it. Watch party. Anything.
How long is it?
An hour and a half or something?
Could only be 90 minutes.
There's three movies, so we'll have to do a marathon.
No, like I feel like you can just get away with the first one.
I've heard Shrek, too. 1 hour, 29 minutes, Shrek.
Okay.
You know what? I'll say another thing, too.
We can start it right now and finish by the end of the show.
I know we were going to get to the GM thing, but I can wait. One more thing. Every movie should be 90 minutes. All of them.
Oh, yeah.
They should all be 90 minutes.
My biggest gripe with movies, part of why I don't watch them, is because I'm sitting there and I lose interest at like the 2-hour, 20-minute mark, and it's like, Jesus. Like, you know, you want to know the sign of bad cinema, bad television? When you're checking how much time's left. And you're like, oh boy, we still have another like hour of this.
I very rarely do that.
That's why I don't like going to the theater. I can't check.
Are you kidding? You don't like going to the theater?
Oh, I hate going to the theater.
He doesn't like movies. Tyler doesn't watch movies.
I hate going.
What do you mean you hate going to the theater?
I feel weird in like the recliner seats, people around you. You never know what's going on in there. You're just in a giant dark
room. Is this like Taco Bell? You think there's a ghost in the theater?
No, it has nothing to do with ghosts.
Who hates going to the movie theater?
I don't like it. I'd rather watch at home.
I didn't realize you and I had this fundamental of disagreement.
I'm sorry. I don't go and drive up to Grand Rapids to watch a movie on a bed sheet.
No, but the movie theater is important. It is. I'll go to Alamo Drafthouse in Wrigleyville, see some movies all the time. Because the movie theater is where movies are meant to be seen.
Oh, my God. You sound like Nicole Kidman in that AMC ad.
She's right, though. Everything she says in that ad is correct. It's 100% true.
Ridiculous. Like, people talk about the theater like it's some cultural experience. I can take it or leave it.
It is a cultural experience.
I'd rather watch at home.
It's how the film is meant to be seen.
Oh, my God. And why do they take it out so early nowadays? Like, how long are movies in theaters?
You know
now?
Why
like,
they take it out so early nowadays? Because of guys like you who don't get off their ass and go see it in the movie theater.
Yeah, because people have...
What's the last movie you saw in the theater?
Oh, I saw the Bob Dylan movie.
You're talking like you haven't been to a movie theater in your life.
I have.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I probably would have liked it more at home, but yeah.
Would you have checked how much time was left?
No,
if you had
fantastic
the ability?
Flick.
All right, good.
Logged it on Letterboxd.
Did you see Oppenheimer in the theater?
I did, yeah.
I don't think you hate theaters that much.
No, it was like those movies were out, kind of like...
Did you see Barbie in the theater?
Yeah. But I also saw it at home, too, and it was way better at home.
What else have you seen in the movie theater recently?
Lately? I saw Gladiator 2.
This guy goes to the theater. Never mind. We don't have to...
It doesn't mean I don't... like it. Like, I don't like it.
Well, you're allowed to dislike it, but you go...
I do things that I don't like.
I accused you of being the reason that the movies leave the theater, and
listen,
you're not.
I am stimulating the economy, all right? I am saving the theater. I am saving the theater.
At least someone is.
We will take your Bears calls. Also, we'll get to the GM question as well. Who's going to be around the longest? Jed Hoyer, AK... or Ryan Poles. 312-332-3776. All that and more next.
This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay. I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. Welcome back to Tyler Rocky and Shay Norley. We're back on ESPN Chicago.
Time Carm moment over the weekend, or actually no, 2 days ago, but we'll get to that in 10 minutes.
Do either of you know what song this is, Jack and Hannah? What a disappointment.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't either. But if you say it, I'll probably know it.
The Strokes, Last Night.
Okay.
I could
tell it was the Strokes because I was like, it's got a little Reptila feel to it, but it's not Reptila.
All time 2000s rock, man. The Strokes were great. That bums
Still
me
are.
Out. These two young cats.
Still are great.
They have no
Why'd you
idea.
Kill them, huh?
Okay, they still are great. They did release new music recently, too.
Did they?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Good for them. Good for them. Are they touring? You going? Show trip?
I don't know. Let's
show trip to see the Strokes.
Strokes 2024.
We can all watch Shrek, and then we'll go see the Strokes, and
this is going to be it.
Can't type Strokes into Google.
Baited
on
and
the
got
word
them.
Computers.
Baited and
yeah.
got them.
Well done.
All right. Let's get into general managers in the city, because I don't think there's a high approval rating of any of them right now. But there's three in particular that I feel like are kind of living on the edge. We obviously know Jed Hoyer going into a final year of his deal did not get extended yet. That obviously can change if the Cubs go out and look good this season. And if they make the playoffs, in all likelihood, Jed Hoyer is going to be back. Ryan Poles, we don't know exactly what his contract is. Does he have 1 year left? Does he have 2 years left? Does he have 1,000 years left? We don't know. And then AK, do we know anything about that guy?
Nope.
I mean, goes into Nothing. Hiding and you never hear from him again.
Will they make trades?
Well, one of them already has made a couple trades this offseason. And that would be Jed Hoyer in a job-saving escapade. And then you've got Ryan Poles. We'll see what he does this offseason. I'd imagine more free agency than trades in terms of impact. And then AK. Clock's ticking, buddy. Got a couple days here to move some names. But which of those three do you think will last the longest in Chicago? 312-332-3776. For me, I think it's going to be Jed Hoyer. I really do. For some reason, I feel like the Ricketts really like the way that he runs the team. And I do think the Cubs are going to the playoffs this year, and that will get him an extension. I don't know how long Ryan Poles is going to be around out of this. If this goes sideways real quick, if you don't address the line, if you do kind of half-ass this now that you've done the gotten some of the big pieces out of the way, like if you don't touch things up around the edges, he's going to go too, and who knows, like Ben Johnson may want someone else in there. He may hold all the cards to force him out. And AK, I don't know what the hell his situation is. He may be here forever. He may not be here by the time we get to April. I don't know.
He has inappropriate photos of Michael Reinsdorf would be my guess. It's my guess.
Mm-hmm.
No information. That's my guess. Yeah, I don't know how he's kept his job to this point. It's been a clear rebuild needing to be in place for 3 years, and they just haven't executed on it. Instead, they paid Zach, which they kind of had to, but now you can't move him. And now it feels like you really can't move him if you can't move him at this deadline when he's playing the best basketball he's played in years. Vooch, I hope that they'll pull the trigger on and move. You know, like Patrick Williams has been added to the trade block, but what's the actual interest level? Like, yeah. Are you going to have to take on some pile? Like, the package I read was Yusuf Nurkic and a first-round pick for Patrick Williams. Yusuf Nurkic is the NBA equivalent of a dead person and a first-round pick. Well, okay, but it's Phoenix's, so it's not going to be lottery, whatever.
It's Phoenix's, so you're drafting a guy that's going to be in, like, fifth grade right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, people don't really care either. You might get one of the Jazz picks. So it's through Phoenix, you get one of the Jazz picks. I don't even know where that comes out. I mean, the funniest thing about the NBA to me, and I think part of the reason why these GMs can stick around, is because with the way that these picks get moved, you are drafting kids that are in middle school.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you're trading Patrick Williams for a sixth grader. And it's a weird way to think about it, I know, but it is like the pick that you receive, you will use in 2030.
Yeah.
I don't have any faith in the Bulls actually moving on from either Eversley or AK. So I'm not going to even put him in the conversation. I feel like he's just got a steady gig.
He's just there. There's the Jerry loyalty factor. Like, felt like Gar and Pax were here a little too long. Now I feel like Bulls fans would kill to have Gar and Pax back.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you want, but they could draft. They were tremendous at identifying talent. Some of the guys that they would get late, like, and think about where the Bulls were at that time, too. They were a good team. You're talking about a team that was consistently drafting in the 20s, and in some cases, like the late 20s, too. And they were still finding what, like, Taj Gibson, fantastic. Jimmy Butler, obviously, the big one out of that. And, like, sure, when you're drafting in that situation as much as you are, you're going to have your Marcus Teagues. But the ability to go out and find some of those guys late, and even some of the guys that they were able to find early, like, let's still call it what it is. Michael Beasley versus Derrick Rose was a conversation in 08. Getting Joakim Noah the year before, fantastic pick. And that was a much maligned pick at the time.
Yep.
And they were able to find talent, develop talent, and it came to the boil of you were able to get guys in the draft. You had a coach that was able to develop damn near anybody, and they just worked well as a team together. Unfortunately, injuries and other things got in the way, but they built the product. They built it. I mean, in my lifetime, those are some of the best teams that I've seen. And they didn't win anything. They didn't even win a conference title. And they're still one of my favorite teams that I've ever seen, just because they were so fun night in and night out. And there was a commitment to winning there.
It's just, it's only ever going to happen if you, like, you brought it up, and I think you put it perfectly. They've had selections in the draft that were panned at the time and then worked. That's the strategy for the Bulls being good. You need a Joakim Noah that you just kind of fall face first into the pick being good. Or you need a Michael Jordan. Or you need a Derrick Rose.
Well,
or you
that would be nice to have Michael Jordan.
Well, of course.
Would love to have a Michael Jordan.
Or you get Derrick Rose and you fall face first into getting the number one pick in the lottery.
Yep.
Like, it's just the way that they're operated, you're going to need luck. And
listen, every great team requires luck. Like, if the Bears end up being great, we're going to look back on that Carolina trade and be like, all right, that's the luck that they got that went their way. You need breaks.
You do, but the breaks that the Bulls have gotten are bigger than that. I mean, when you have a 1% chance at the number one pick and you get it, like, it's just, that's what they need. Because the way they run it, they're not going to build a winner. But I also don't feel like they feel any pressure to do that, despite the fact that the fans don't care. Their building's still full. It's kind of a convenient excuse now that they're not on half the televisions, because they can just blame that for the reason people aren't watching instead of the actual product. To me, AK's not in a whole lot of danger, because I don't think they really care.
You know what's funny, too? When AK got here, it looked like he really knew what he was doing, too. I mean, fired Jim Boylan, went out and stealth mode hired Billy Donovan, which to reboot this thing and get it going was a fantastic hire. And then you go out in free agency, and you made some moves that were real difference makers. You went out and signed DeMar DeRozan, and DeMar was fantastic here. You went out and signed Lonzo Ball. And Lonzo, for up until December, January, was tremendous. It looked like this thing was really moving in the right direction. Everything was firing. And it's almost like the Reinsdorfs told AK, all right, we're going to give you X number of dollars to spend over the next 5 years. Don't blow it all in one place. And he blew it all in one place in that first offseason.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, cupboard's dry now. You used it all. We told you to save it for a rainy day, and boy, is it raining right now, and you've got nothing to spend it on.
It's funny you brought up the stealth hire of Billy Donovan, too, because what is it with this town and stealth hires? The Ben Johnson, there were stealth aspects to it. Craig Council was full-on, like, espionage. The stealth hire of Billy Donovan.
Yeah, there was some Trojan horse something there.
These three GMs, they just, like, they got to do everything under the shroud of darkness, and then nothing happens.
You put in all the work. We're talking about legitimate operations to get some of these guys.
Yeah.
Like, Craig Council, I tip my hat to Jed. They kept that circle very tight in terms of who knew about this, because it's the only way you could have done it. You legitimately stabbed the back of one of the guys who is beloved in this town, a World Series hero in this town.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we haven't heard from David Ross since. I don't know what his intentions are to get back in the game, but I'm really intrigued to hear the David Ross tell-all on everything that went down with that, because I cannot imagine how that happened. And David Ross, fiery dude,
Is he writing a book, do you think?
That would probably do numbers in the city.
Full week of content breaking down David Ross.
The David Ross book. The David Ross book club.
What do you mean I have to read, kid? Take that. I don't read.
He's not a reader. Chase on the south side.
I don't know if he can.
Oh, no.
Chase.
Morning.
Tyler, what's up, man?
What's up?
Say, what's happening, man?
Hi, Chase.
Hey, guys, listen. You want to know the GM who I trust the least and trust the most? Neither. I don't trust all of them. They all need to go. All of them need to be fired. They all suck at their job because we, as fans, for the longest, we say all the times, right? If we can see the holes and the flaws in the roster, well, how can they not see that, right? So we said about Jed, about him fixing the bullpen. He never did it. We said for long, you need to get a bullpen. He ignored it, and look what happened. It cost the Cubs nearly the games, all the games. If they hadn't blown those saves, they could have been in the playoffs this past season. We all knew the Bears' offensive line was a huge problem. We all said it. They needed the pass rush. Shay, you've been saying it for the longest, that they passed on getting an edge rusher and drafted a receiver and traded for an aging wide receiver. And now they got to go get an offensive lineman. Now, and we see that. How can they not see that? Same thing with the Bulls. We all knew this team wasn't going nowhere. We all knew that they need three-point shooting. We all knew that this team was at best a below-average playing team, yet they don't see that. And that's the point I'm trying to make. If we as fans can see the holes and the flaws and the problems with these teams, how these millionaire GMs can't see these? These guys are paid millions and millions of dollars, and you mean to tell me they can't see that? Like, I'm not trying to be funny. But, dude, I'd be wondering, do these GMs take stupid pills? I mean, I just don't get it.
No, dude, Chase, you're thinking way too hard about it, bro. I'm going to make it real easy for you. They are being paid millions to spend billionaires' money playing fantasy football. That's it. That's it. That's the whole thing.
I think part of it, too, like, they may see the problem. It doesn't necessarily mean there's an immediate fix to any of these issues either.
Or that they know how to fix it. Like, you just...
You can say, like, oh, go out and get bullpen help. All right. You may pick the wrong... Like, it's not like the Cubs didn't go out and try to address the bullpen. They just felt like the best options were in their organization. Like, who's the name that you would have gone out and gotten? I don't think people know. Under the means of that you're given.
Yeah. I mean,
you can say, oh, go sign Josh Hader. It's that easy. All right. Do we have Josh Hader money to spend? And I'm not saying that's right, but do you have Josh Hader money to spend?
He wants Josh Hader money.
Porter Hodge it is, champ.
Ugh. Yeah, and I also, like, the stupid pills thing. I'm not going to say that these guys are taking stupid pills. I think that's ridiculous. But I think GMs are just as fallible as anyone else. Sports executives are as fallible as anyone else. Just because they have the job, a lot of people want to kiss the feet of them and treat them like they're gods. Or like, I always love hearing, like a Lion fan will be like, Brad Holmes, the best thing that ever happened to me. Oh, I love him. And I'm like, I'm really glad you have a personnel decision maker who's like really good at this. But he's not God. He's not vacuuming your carpet. Like, it's okay to just treat them like a normal person. These guys can suck at the job too. And it's just, that's it.
Yeah. I had my karma moment.
I'm excited.
Yeah. We'll get to that coming up next.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago. Welcome back to Tyler Rocky and Shay Norling. We're back on ESPN Chicago.
Email notification this week. Two of them, in fact. That's how I knew it was real. First one, I was kind of like, all right, I don't know if this is real. I think someone's trying to get me.
What happened?
Came into the inbox, said, your social security number's been found on the dark web.
Was it real?
Well, then I got a second one from a different... So, like, I have like those identity theft. Like one's through my credit card.
Identity theft monitoring or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And then another was through TurboTax. When I did my taxes last year, they like set you up with one for a year. And I got one from one and I was like, all right, I don't know if this is real. Then I got the second one. I was like, all right, this is really real.
What do you do in that situation?
So I looked it up, consulted with my father. I was like, bro, what do I do here? I should have thought it was probably a bigger deal than it was, than I was making it out to be, because I was like unpanicked by it. And that's why it was my, like, people always say, like, oh, Carm, like, social security numbers on the dark web. Everyone's probably on the dark web anyway, so not a big deal. But God forbid the White Sox have never signed a 9-figure contract.
They put my social security number on the dark web. I think, did you guys even know there was a dark web?
Look that up.
I only thought there was the web.
Look that up.
There's a dark web?
What's on it? Dark web.
Chris, what's on the dark web?
Abdallah, you seem like you'd know. What's on the dark web? Not a big deal. Not the end of the world.
And the Bears still don't have a left tackle.
But yeah, like I didn't. So what I did was like I froze. You can freeze like your credit through like Experian and all those things. So that's all I did. And
that's it?
Yeah, that's all I did. Maybe there's more steps I need to take. I don't know. But
I think you probably are just going to have your identity stolen is all. I mean, whatever.
It might.
Who cares? Somebody take mine, please. please don't actually do that. I'm kidding. I don't need
He's
that to
asking
happen.
For his identity to be stolen. Boy, what are we doing here?
Somebody
what
take
a morning
mine.
We're having.
I don't know, man. It's a Saturday.
It seems like the worst thing ever to have your identity stolen.
Dude, I got my somebody stole like I don't know where it came from, how they got it, but somebody spent $300 on my debit card on Uber Eats.
Honestly, respect.
Feasting.
But of all the things.
Could you tell where it was, what they ordered? Or nope. you just saw it was Uber Eats?
My bank called me and said, this fraud charge. We noticed suspicious activity. And I went to my app, and it was three consecutive orders from Uber Eats totaling $300.
Jeez.
But I actually think it's kind of stupid to do. Like, respect a little bit because you bought out like a bunch of food, good for you.
But now your address is linked to it.
No, that part didn't. I was more thinking about what you're spending your money on. Once you eat the food,
you're effed.
That's it. That was a one-time $300 thing. You're going to spend $300 on somebody's credit card that you found?
Yeah.
Make it worth it.
Yeah, one of my old roommates.
Get a Nintendo Switch or something. I would have respected that way more than Uber Eats.
My old roommate, he had his. There's like something going on at one of the gyms, like where people's wallets were getting stolen. And so his wallet got stolen and he saw there was a giant charge, like someone stole his credit card and it was like a $300 charge. Same thing at Walgreens. Like if you're going to do it up. Like,
I'll never understand it. I'll never understand
it. Get yourself
it.
PlayStation.
The Uber Eats was crazy. See, if they found out that my card had been used for a Sony and they bought a PS5, all good.
Yeah, like the Uber Eats one is the epitome of the saying, like, if you want to be happy for a day, eat a steak.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that is.
Teach a man to, if you want a man to be happy for a day, give him a fish. If you want a man to be happy for his life, teach him to fish.
Exactly.
Steal credit card info and buy PlayStations. Mm-hmm. That's teaching you to fish.
Yeah, but I think I did the right thing. I think I'm in a good spot. But I figured, like, everyone's social's probably on the dark web. Right.
Yeah, I figure that my information is just everywhere, and I'm constantly at risk, and it's, you know, it is what it is. Just going to hope that people are good most of the time.
I have a question for the Taylor Swift fans, the big-time Swifties.
Boy, we are spraying
lives.
The all fields
yeah.
today.
And then we'll get to some college basketball stuff as well. We've got everything on
Holy
tap today.
Holy smokes.
Lots to do. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.